Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Morning all, the Neil Prendeville Show. Get involved in the conversation. Text 0868 104 106. I mentioned some court reports from both the Examiner and the Irish Times, some extensive coverage of five families who lost loved ones to COVID at a Cork nursing home. Now, that nursing home was the Care Choice Ballynoe Nursing Home, and it was before the High Court with regards to the launching of landmark wrongful death actions in the High Court, and I went through that in quite some detail on the air. I did say that if it was at all possible, I would like to talk with Arlene Walsh, the niece of the late James Lee from Cork, who spent a number of years in Ballynoe and sadly passed away there of COVID back in February of 2021. Now, for the record, that would have been the third COVID wave, if you recall. Arlene joins me by phone. Arlene, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
And to some extent, this brings it all back again, doesn't it? This High Court case, the talks, the settlement without admission of liability. Am I right?
It never went away, really. It was devastating what happened, and it lives with us every day. For all of us, any of the people who had family or residence in Ballynoe, it lives with us every day. We haven't forgotten the people we lost.
Yeah, I recall it especially at the time so vividly. You know, 24 residents out of the 51 in the nursing home died during the COVID-19 pandemic. 24 out of 51. I don't know if there was any other nursing home with those kind of awful, awful, sad statistical deaths. Now, not all passed away from COVID, but there were many harrowing stories on the air at the time of people dying alone, just all on their own, with people looking through windows. Do you mind me asking, would that have been your experience with Jimmy?
The evening before Jimmy died, I was trying to get through to Ballynoe all day. And at 5:20, I got through to reception and I asked how Jimmy was. They said he was fine. He was in great form. He had had his dinner and he had drank something and all was good. And I kind of went off the phone. I was like, look, thank you for letting me know. I was very thankful. 20 minutes later, I got a phone call from a very young girl who was actually a nurse there, temporary cover in Ballynoe. And she said to me, if you'd like to see Jimmy alive, can you be here in 20 minutes? I was absolutely shocked. And basically, we got in the road as fast as we could. We went into Ballynoe. I was totally with my phone outside the door. I had to take off my shoes. I went into the reception. It was full of all these young temporary staff in the reception. I had to sign forms. I had to go on up. And I walked through the corridors of Ballynoe and I went in the direction of Jimmy's room and I was guided away. I was like, no, he's down here, which was on the opposite end of the building. And as I was walking down, there was one of the older ladies, I won't say her name, she had dementia, she was wandering around the hallway and they kind of steered her back to her room. And I was brought down to a room at the very back of the building that was near the stairs to go upstairs. I was led into the room and Jimmy was in the room, darkened room, all his possessions boxed up, and he had many possessions in the corner of the room. He was on oxygen. There was a 7-Up bottle on the ground. He was lucid, but he wasn't, you know, he was fairly drugged up. I went to go over to him and I don't know, I had to stand back a distance. And Jimmy told me, Arlene, you have to do what you have to do. You know what it is. And that was his funeral plans, because, you know, older people, they always talk about those.
Yeah.
And I stayed there a while and I can't even go there now. He said that, like, people are going past on trolleys, that the people are dying. And he said he loved me. And I was asked to leave the room, and that young girl, the nurse, she said, I couldn't let you go through the evening without coming in here. And I said, listen, can I come back again tomorrow? Is it okay? And she said, Jimmy's going to leave here in a body bag tomorrow. I couldn't believe it.
Forgive me, but that was a bit blunt, was it?
That was horrific. It was very blunt. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. My husband was waiting outside in the car. I was in my socks, walking around. It was raining. I couldn't believe it. I said it to my husband straight away, and we were in disbelief. And I went up to my mum's house. That's Jimmy's sister. We were all in shock. I couldn't even go into my mum and dad's house because it was cold, but I had to stand out in the back. My mum's house is near the back door in Teller. And I never slept the whole night. And I was ringing, and at 7:20 the next morning I rang. And I got through to one of the guys who was there. He was a nurse, and he told me that Jimmy had just died 10 minutes before. And I said, what do I do? And he said, look, we'll be in contact with you, or contact us and leave us know what the name of the funeral home. and we'll deal with the rest.
Yeah. What we do know is that that had been Jimmy James Lee's home from October of 2014 until he passed away. Just listening to you there talking about his final hours, it would seem to me, listening to you, that he knew what was happening, what was about to happen was inevitable. And it sounds as if he was very brave about it.
He was. He was a very stoic man. He always, you know, he just continued on. He ended up in Ballynor because he'd been attacked in his home by a drug addict who climbed in the window and beat him up. He spent months in the Mercy. And Ballynor was near my house, and I was adamant that he would go in there. And look, it was a home from home, I have to say, for the amount of years he was there, 6.5 years. He was happy. He had friends. He felt safe. And I felt that he was safe there. We never thought this would happen.
You know, as reading back again over, you know, the events of some of the periods of COVID, and particularly Cork, and I'll never forget the amount of calls on the air all through that. And there was a lot of similarities with regards to your sad tale regarding your uncle and others with their loved ones. You know, I know that Jimmy tested negative. I won't dwell much on this, but he tested negative on the 31st of, pardon me, in the middle of January. He tested positive on the 31st of January, and he was dead 4 days later. I suppose there'll always be allegations, seeing as it was an admission. It was without an admission of liability. Mm. But part of it, I was constantly reminded of this, would have been not adequately informing the family of the situation regarding COVID, the amount of outbreaks, who tested positive, or not correctly, allegations of not correctly letting family know about residents and loved ones' conditions.
No, okay. It was absolutely a farce. It was just very badly organised. The HSE were in there. HICWA had been notified. Everyone knew around the area that there was COVID in Ballynor. We were deprived of seeing our loved ones. They were in Ballynor to be looked after and not to be alone, and they all died alone. We don't know what conditions they died. We don't know, did they cry out their last hours? We don't know. We just don't know.
We had family members.
We can't get access to the records. They've denied us the records because it's a private nursing home for the last 5 years.
Okay. Yeah, there was... I didn't know that, actually, that you're not able to look at files and records. That's unfortunate.
If it's a private nursing home, if it's like the likes of a HSD or a hospital setting, you will get your access to... There might be redacted some of the information.
Some of the calls that we had on the air at the time also became part of the allegations in the High Court case, right? And it had to do with positive COVID patients mixing with negative COVID patients in the day room, that there was positive and negative together. That would have been a serious red flag. There wasn't enough masks. There wasn't enough staff because staff were getting sick as well. And also there was the issue that dementia patients who were positive were wandering all over. Oh my God, I hope a lot has been learned from all of this back then, and mixing with those that were negative, and then those that were negative were testing positive. Wasn't it? It was a complete nightmare, wasn't
there it? There was no designated infection control person within Ballynor. The staff that they brought down from Dublin were very young staff. The regular staff had all gone home sick. There were some familiar faces, but not a lot of familiar faces.
When we were chatting before this, just between you and I had made a point, maybe awkwardly, that it was early into COVID. People were unprepared. There was a lot of panic about. You don't necessarily accept that, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, there was calls put into the HSE, there was calls put into HICWA. Nothing was acted upon. In actual fact, one of the residents' family asked for the army to go in to help. It was that bad. There was no chef there. They weren't getting food. Apparently, an older lady who was on a walker went to the kitchen and tried to get as much food as she could possibly get to try and feed people. There was no access to their medication. This is all now from a whistleblower. We know this, and this is fact. We know this from a resident who actually survived in Ballynor. A family member of hers died in there, but we know this facts.
Was any of this heard in the High Court, what you're saying?
No. It was all, you know, all of our information was put forward first. We had P.A. Duffy, the solicitors that I was using. We had infection control experts. We had doctors. We had nurses. You know, that we had been working up all along, because if it went to trial, that we'd have all this information.
Okay.
They studied all of the cases, and their findings are just absolutely unbelievable.
But you hadn't an opportunity to get that on the record, you see, in the High Court, because of a settlement without admission of liability and correct. The case against the HSE dropped. How do you feel? It's a result, for want of a better term. It acknowledges the life and times and the sad death of your uncle. But is it enough?
No, it really is. How will I say? We were I was the last person of the five families to agree to a settlement. I didn't want money. It's not about money. I've been looking for Jimmy's records since day one. I want to know what happened. I was on to the coroner. You don't believe the amount of people that I went, like the quest that I went on to try and get some truth for everyone within Ballynoe. I was knocking at doors, ringing strangers, the families of people who had died in there to try and get us all to come together. And we did, as a group, really come together to try to find the truth.
Try and find the truth, of course. And as I say, you're one of five families, and possibly even more, I would imagine, across the country.
There's going to be a lot more, yeah.
There's going to be a lot more. There were aspects as well of, say, for instance, I was reading it about service users, members of the public, no isolation contingency plan for positive cases. And I know I'm very much revisiting COVID again, and forgive me if it's coming across that way. It's not intended. But you need to tell us a little bit about what happened with James Lee after he passed away. Because at the time, if I recall, funerals were small, weren't they? And they were very quiet affairs.
Yeah. For instance, the day that Jimmy's remains were removed from Ballynoe, I won't go into it, but we waited a long time for the hearse to be taken out of Ballynoe. There was total confusion. We went to the church. We could have 10 people. It meant that I was at the church door asking my brother to go out so that my uncle could go in. So the rest of our family, the church gates were closed, and the rest of our family were sitting in cars outside the church.
It's the size of those churches with 10 people in them. When I look back at it now,
and it wasn't the priest's fault. No, it wasn't the priest's fault. It was guards, implementing this. And, it was awful. We went to the graveyard. Jimmy was buried. We couldn't go anywhere to even as a family, kind of take it all in. We abided by every rule of COVID,
Tell me about Jimmy Lee, though. He died at the age of 81. Sadly, he went into Ballynoe following an attack in his own home, you say, from a drug addict who broke in, probably looking for money.
Yes.
That's tragic in itself. But tell me about the rest of his life. Tell me about the man.
Jimmy was different. He was eccentric. He was lovely. He was very good to his family, very good to his mom and dad. He was a bachelor. He lived at home. He loved his motorbikes. He was a cooper, and he followed in the family tradition because my grandfather and his father before him and his brother, they all worked for Irish distillers. He never drank, even though he worked in the distillery. My grandmother died in 1987, and in and around that time, he retired to look after my granda. My granda worked till nearly 88. My granda was working in as a sarks in a refinery church.
Yeah.
And Jimmy became, he was doing all the cooking and shopping, and he loved to shop because he was a total shopaholic.
Yeah.
And when we were young, he was fantastic. He had everything that was, current at the time. So back in the day, we'd have films in my grandmother's house. He'd have the big, huge reels of films, Superman, Laurel and Hardy, the whole lot.
Amazing.
If you needed something, if it was for school, if it was anything, you just mentioned it to Jimmy and the next day he'd buy you three of them.
Well,
he was very generous.
Were you his carer later in life then? Or?
No, I wasn't. But my granddad was always very aware that if anything happened, Jimmy really looked after him. So my mom and his brothers and everyone, we all looked after him. But he was very shy and he was a very quiet person, and he lived alone in the house. And I suppose over time it became a bit sad to live in the house on your own, so he kind of just stopped going out and stuff like that. He had problems with his legs and whatever, but the day that he was attacked in his house was probably a blessing in disguise, because that was the last day he stayed at home on his own, and he ended up going to the Mercy. He went to Ballynoe. He made friends his own age. He was chatting. He was important. He just loved it. Thursday he would, or this shopping day, and he still used to go buy a bag of potatoes for Ballynoe, salt and pepper, bag, and flowers. And he did all the gardens in Ballynoe himself. He was planting flowers all the time. He just needed help living on his own. Living in Ballynoe, just someone there. But he was totally independent. He loved the internet. He discovered the internet when he went into Ballynoe, and he absolutely loved it. He was chatting to all the people. He'd keep an eye on all the different residents around the place. it was his happy place for a long time.
I wanted to get an opportunity to talk about James Lee, the man, you know,
He was brilliant. He was funny. He was, you know, very good to all of us, I have to say.
Yeah,
you
rest in peace.
As a brother, as an uncle, as a son, he was fantastic.
Let him rest in peace, as I say. I wonder, is there a little bit more peace now in the family, even in spite of this being a fact of settlement without admission of liability?
It's very sad. It just brings it all back again. It's very sad.
Did you do this as much for James Lee, Jimmy Lee, as much as yourself and the family, I wonder?
Do you know what? When he went into the nursing home first, he didn't like it. He didn't want to be in the nursing home. He wanted to be at home. I mean, he's always kept the money for the taxi in his coat so that he could come out to my house. He, believe it or not, used to have about €300 to get the taxi. I know they're expensive, but we used to laugh about that. But when he died, a few days after, I was sitting down saying, this is wrong. This is so wrong. And then I started contacting other family members and one or two, well, it was three of us at the start. And we were like, did this happen? Did that happen? And they were like, this is wrong. And then that's when we realised
the similarities.
This is not the way you die.
The similarities.
This is not the way you're to be cared for. It's not just us, it's everyone else as
these
well.
These stories needed to be heard at the time and they need to be heard now. So you've done right by your uncle. Well done. You've done right by him.
We didn't want a settlement. We just wanted to know what happened. We still don't have answers to actually what happened. We still don't know about his last few hours. I'm not lucky, but I was lucky that I got in to see him the evening before he passed away, because that was taken from so many other people. I relive that night every night. That image will never leave me, of him sitting in a chair in a room that wasn't his, with the curtains closed, with all his worldly possessions stacked in boxes in a corner. That took a lot of time to pack up and move. That would never leave me.
And I suppose without wanting to upset you, because everything was boxed up in a room that wasn't his, in a dark room, it was like as if, this is me thinking out loud, there would have been no point unpacking the boxes because everybody knew what was happening next.
Neil, the boxes are still in situ in my home. I go to open them and I just have to walk away from them.
There will come a time.
It's 5 years, Neil.
I know.
It's 5 years. It's just, I felt I failed him, that I didn't look after him. You know, that I should have taken him home that night. If I had taken him home, would it have been different? I know he was 81, but he had a lot of life left in him. In enormous circumstances, he would have lasted. My granddad was 93. All my uncles are all really old at the moment. They're all in their late 80s, you know what I mean? So it was a family that lived for a long time.
Yeah, I know. I hope you come to peace with it, or find peace, or will at some stage be at peace with it, Arlene. I really do.
You know, it dragged it all up there in the last month, because we were up in the court on the 24th of March. It became public on the Tuesday. And, you know, we've been living with this for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And I suppose in time, you know, we'll come to accept it. Accepting the money, accepting the settlement, that's not accepting anything. What we need is a public inquiry. We need to know what happened.
So the public inquiry would give opportunities for people to tell the actual stories that can't be told.
Correct.
In the event of a settlement without admission of liability. That stops everything in its tracks, yeah?
Yeah. Our solicitors have been with the group in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And they're getting somewhere, you know. But the families need to be heard. People's stories need to be heard. It needs to be put down in history. This can't happen again. This can't happen again.
Yeah.
It's very sad to think of how people died.
Let's remember,
how people passed away.
Let's remember James Lee, 81 years old when he passed, and much loved by so many, you included.
Thank you for
Arlene.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you.